Hello everybody, this is ASO Games, and today it is the last episode of this podcast for a while. And today for the last few weeks I've been asking people to send in their confessions, which I'll be reading out obviously anonymously, and I have two guest judges here to judge whether they're going to be forgiven or not forgiven. So firstly we have Cameron, my brother. Cameron, what will you be looking at whether to be forgiven or not?
Well, I'm looking for what they're meant to do, if they were meant to do something nasty or if it was an accident.
And Mum? Margaret?
Yeah, I'm looking to see if they were malicious and, again, like Cameron, if they were nasty or if it was just an accident or a bit of a joke, really, a prank.
Okay, thank you. Right, so we'll get on to the first one. Cameron, choose a name, please. Any name? Female name, please.
Anne.
Okay, this is confessions from Anne. For about 7 months now, I've known the password to one of my friend's Facebook accounts. I was round her house one day when I looked over her shoulder as she was logging on to Facebook. I wasn't even acknowledging the fact that I was reading the keys as she typed it in, but subconsciously I was. That night, back at home, it suddenly popped into my head when I was logging onto Facebook myself, and out of curiosity, I decided to try what I vaguely remembered her password to be. I already knew what her email was. It worked. It wasn't even an uncomplicated password. Somehow, I just remembered it correctly. I looked at her messages, and from that moment, I knew I was stuffed. She regularly messaged the guy I was crushing on, in quite some depth as well. Of course, I couldn't resist the temptation to read pretty much every single conversation it's had since the beginning. I even became a little jealous of my friend because she had these brilliant, funny, long conversations with him. I talked to this guy in school somewhat, but never through Facebook message. I felt that if I was to attract him, I would need to do that. So looking through conversations, which were ongoing, by the way, I learned a lot about him and his sense of humour. I used this knowledge when I started to message him myself, and it worked. I used this fact as justification for my frankly reprehensible actions. Months passed, and the guy and I talked over Facebook. The guy and my friend talked over Facebook too. Around the middle of August, I decided it was time to tell my crush how I felt about him. In real life, of course. At least I got that bit right. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go. He didn't feel the same way as me, as I did him, which is fair enough, really. This stuff happens. I thought now would be the time to stop sifting through my friend's messages for obvious reasons, but I didn't. In fact, I kept reading the messages between her and my crush regardless. I knew it was a bad problem, but for me at this point, it had stopped being about learning about the guy, but more about fulfilling curiosity. I hadn't been just reading the messages between her and my crush. I'd been reading nearly every new conversations that she had, and even some from long before I knew her password. I found out secrets meant to be only between her and someone else not me. I continued because I saw my actions as a victimless crime. It would all be okay as long as she didn't find out what I was doing. That brings us to now. I still look through my friends' messages regardless of who they're to, just for entertainment. I know that it is desperately, desperately wrong, but I continue and probably shall continue until she changes her password. I'd like to seek forgiveness from her, my crush, and all the friends' secrets that I found out. So, what do you think of that, Mum?
No, absolutely not forgiven. That's totally dishonest. She didn't need to know that. She didn't stumble across the password by accident and her fingers fell on the keys. She didn't do it as a one-off, so no, definitely not forgiven. And you know, it's private stuff. Would she like people spying on her? So no.
If you had somebody's password, would you not be intrigued just to have a look?
Yes, but where does it stop? And sometimes you don't hear nice things about yourself when you listen at keyholes.
Where does the world stop?
Yeah, but I just think, no, I think not forgiven. And she still does it. So I bet she's changed her password a few times to protect her secrets.
Okay, Cameron?
Well, I would have forgiven her at the start. Wait, it is her, right? Okay. I would have forgiven her at the start. Mm-hmm. Because she just went on it once, and I thought, right, that's fine, because I would do that once. But I then, I wouldn't, when it got on and on, she was looking through all the chats she was doing with her boyfriend.
And previously.
And for longer than a day, and went on for a long time, so not, she's not forgiven.
And it's not even funny.
So that's two people who have, that's two votes for not forgiven. If it ever goes to one all, I'll have to have the deciding vote. I'll state my opinion now. Even though it's not, it's already a not forgiven, I'm going to say forgiven because I blame it on the person whose Facebook account it was. Because if they're not going to change their password in 7 months, you expect to get hacked.
Oh, really?
So, well, you've got to change it regularly.
But and what was she to this person whose Facebook account it was?
Best friends.
There you go.
Yeah, but
the key is in the title.
It was, it, as she said, as she said, it's victimless. Mm. Nothing. It didn't affect anyone. She just found out stuff, and she used it to her advantage.
Exactly.
Well, it's just useful.
I don't know if she should be forgiven. What if she's heard something nasty about her?
Okay.
She'd rage at her.
Okay, so that was the first confession.
So when, Anne's not forgiven.
Yep, Anne was not forgiven for that. We'll now go on and put some music on, and after that we'll do the next confession. Can't ever get it right, no matter how hard I try, and I try. Well, I put up a good fight, but you words cut like knives, and I'm tired. was Tell Me a Lie by One Direction. We're now going on to the second confession. And it goes like this. One day, back in 2013, when I was 13 and at boarding school, I was told that the family had been invited to Granny's for lunch. Dad proposed to me that he and I drive there along in his new car, and with Mum and my sisters to follow in the old car. I was thrilled when Dad turned up to school in a flashy Jensen Interceptor, which I hadn't seen before, and we rolled off together. I was too young to drive on the road, of course, but when we reached Granny's, Dad winked at me and asked if I'd like a go. Ooh. Granny lived in a fairly major pile approached by a long tree-lined drive. You can imagine my excitement at driving the powerful car slowly up the private road. Though I could barely see over the steering wheel, and parking in front of the hall, which had a large oak doors with the family crest depicted in ancient stained glass.
Wow,
who is this? We had a splendid roast beef lunch, then leaving the grown-ups to finish a decent claret. My sisters and I went off to play. Granny was into golf, and she said I could borrow a club and some balls and play in the grounds, but on the condition that I hit my shots away from the house. Happily, armed with a 6-iron and half a dozen balls, I slogged away in a very amateur fashion. I lost 3 balls in quick succession in the long paddock grass, then decided to return to the formal lawns and try again in a different direction. With my current poor form, I felt I was in no danger of hitting anything important, so I lined up a shot exactly as expected, sliced the ball into the rose garden. However, my next shot was a corker. I middled the ball and, like a young Jack Nicklaus, gazed up in admiration as it arched high into the sky. What happened next took seconds, but felt like forever. In horror, I watched as the ball headed straight for Dad's new car. I could barely breathe. It landed just short, bounced on the tarmac, and overshot a long bonnet. Phew! But my relief was short-lived, because it bounced again, and this time ploughed right through the stained glass window, shattering the historic family image into tiny shards. By the time I reached the doors, the adults awoke from their post-luncheon snooze, were inspecting the carnage. I knew I was done the minute Granny said sternly, "Henry?" "What?" I replied innocently, despite the clear conclusion that I must have been responsible. My offending golf ball was nowhere to be seen. Unbelievably, it rolled under the grandfather clock from where I retrieved it later. Without hard evidence to pin it on me, the blame was eventually shifted to a possible bird strike. I seek your forgiveness for not owning up, although I'm sure to this day that Granny wasn't really that fooled. But as she is now playing that great fairway in the sky, I cannot case my conscience other than through supplication to your good selves. Aww. Henry. So, what do you think?
Yeah, totally forgiven. Because the adults were, you know, themselves sitting there drinking claret, whiling away the hours, not helping to entertain the youngsters or, you know, give them anything to do. And, you know, surely giving them a golf ball and golf clubs with all of that expensive, the vehicles, etc. around, surely that's a recipe for disaster. So, yeah, totally forgiven. And lucky for him, he didn't hit the car in the first place. Yeah.
But surely his gran told him to hit it away from the house. He went against her, so...
Yeah.
She gave him specific information.
Yeah, but he's a 13-year-old boy, you know, and with the best will in the world, you know, unless he is Tiger Woods, he's not going to be very accurate, is he? So, no, I think he's forgiven. Perhaps they should have gone further away or done something different, but, you know, he didn't do it on purpose, and that's what I said at the beginning. I'm looking to see if it was malicious, and it wasn't, so no.
Okay, Cameron.
Malicious. point that away from my face. I think I forgive him because he's a young boy trying to have some fun, but He's at his grand's or nan's, which is probably not the most fun he's had in his life. Even though he's tried to drive a car, but that's probably his most fun thing. But she told him not to hit the ball to her house or the stained glass window. But he's probably not that good at golf. Like Mum said, if she gave him a ball and a club and told him not to, he probably won't. So I do forgive him.
Yeah. So we have two forgives.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say not forgiven.
Why?
Well, because he was told not to hit it towards the house, and it was a big stained glass window with all their family stuff on it.
So you always do what you're told?
Yes. I'm sure the family would prefer to be the car to be hit.
I think if they're as wealthy as they sound, they could have provided them with some entertainment.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to play some more music and then head on to the last confession. Okay, enjoy.
S-Boy. Yo. Your host for the day.
Why?
Don't let me waste my money. No. I see a new path. I can make half. Make new money, now I got a new laugh. Ha! Music is paying me well, so I ain't going to be the one to go and find a new craft. I'm alright, if it ain't for you, find a new path. If you can't hack it, better find a new class. Triple A gone, gotta find a new pass. Advise me not to do it when I'm buying new cars. To the hood so I can have the last laugh. Still laughing, cause I know I'm not a half heart. When we release, we don't want a half chart. The IQ's high, some of them are half smart. But I do it like Ronson, hard days graph.
All I really want is money in my pocket. Cash in my hand, oh, Skrilla in my wallet. All I really want is money in my pocket. Cash in my hand, and Skrilla in my wallet, yeah. Skrilla in my wallet.
No way I'm gonna be broke, yeah. Got money for the next year, next year, next year, next year, and the year after. Wiley's a martyr, like Sean Carter and Dwayne Carter. But next year I'm gonna step up a gear and go harder. You know me, I'm a master, I cause disaster, I cause disaster. Anywhere on earth, find money like anywhere I search. Plus anywhere I learnt the ropes, I earned the right to go. Choose any stage, anywhere I'm work, anywhere I am alert. Got vision, made my decision, wouldn't wanna get schooled by a king with vision.
All I really want.
Was Cash in My Pocket by Wiley. So now let's head on to the third confession. What do you think of the confession so far?
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. You know, as I say, the first one I think was a little bit more malicious, but the second one was just a bit of fun. So yeah, cool. I'm looking for the next one.
Malicious again. But the first one I definitely thought was not forgiven. But the one we just did, I think was forgiven, but sort of not forgiven.
Okay, interesting comments from the judges. I'm writing to seek, nay beg forgiveness for a sin which to this day brings a tear to my eye and a lump to my throat. It was Christmas Eve long, long ago. In fact, 2013. And I was 13. I had spent the late afternoon and evening in the village pub with my dad. It had been decreed that my mother would come down to the pub at 11:30 p.m. to collect my father and me in order that, as a family, we could go to midnight mass. My mother arrived at the pub and quickly diagnosed, despite not being medically trained, that I was a little bit worse for wear and that instead of attending church, I should go home instead. I downed my orange juice and bid goodnight to my fellow drinkers. I walked up the hill and found a nice warm house, which was full of the smells of Christmas. My mother had spent the day baking in preparation for the many guests who had arrived the following morning. Ah, yes, the smell. I remember it well. Even a few hours after they'd come out of the oven, the unmistakable aroma of mince pies still filled the air. This was a small village that didn't have a chippy, let alone a kebab shop. For traditional post-pub dining purposes, and so the waft of warm fruit and pastry called me into the kitchen. The mother of all baking tins was on the worktop, lid slightly ajar to allow the last remnants of heat to escape, and it was crammed full of freshly baked pies. 3 dozen of them, in fact. I grasped the tin and slumped to the kitchen floor, leaning against the back door. The first pie was delightful, but for a growing 13-year-old, it barely touched the sides. Well, where was I?
It barely touched the sides.
So I helped myself to another, then another. It didn't really register with me that the pies were not as filling as usual. All I knew was that every time I put my hand into my mouth, there was a bite of mince pie waiting to be chewed. After a while, I lazily put the cake tin on the floor and just about managed to find my feet and wander into the lounge. In front of the chimney was a scene familiar to households up and down the land, a generous glass of brandy and a mince pie waiting to nourish Father Christmas when he stopped by our house to deliver presents. Having got a taste for mince pies, I found myself reaching down and taking Santa's and stuffing it into my mouth. The umpteenth pie took the last bit of moisture from my palate and was a little hard to swallow, so I reached for the brandy and in one gulp finished off Santa's drink. No sooner had I finished drinking it than I felt the need to dash up the stairs into the bathroom where I passed out. Christmas morning came and went, and so did the guests, and so did the Christmas dinner, the Queen's speech, and indeed daylight. When I eventually staggered down the stairs, it was approaching 5 p.m. I was greeted in the lounge by a stern-looking father. "You'd better apologise to your mother," he growled. "Why, because I missed Christmas dinner?" I piped up innocently. "No." "Because I was sick on the bathroom floor?" "No." "Because I drank the brandy?" "No." What awful deed had I committed? All being clear, as my father explained, that I'd managed to ruin all 36 mince pies, leaving nothing for my parents to offer to the guests. There was a reason the pies had not seemed filling. It seems that each time I'd taken a bite of pie, I'd put it on the floor beside me while I chewed. Then rather than finish the pie, I'd reached for a new one and repeated the performance. When my parents had arrived home from church, they had not been greeted by the unmistakable smell of mince pies, but a nasty stench of my own making. Ooh. My dad had carried me to bed, and my mother had spent half an hour scrubbing the bathroom clean before going into the kitchen to discover my mincemeat and pastry carnage. So, Father Aidan, I beg forgiveness. However, I am not begging forgiveness for getting tipsy on the brandy, being sick, or demolishing my mother's baking. I was 13 and living in a very dull village with nothing better to offer than those mince pies. What did they expect me to do? The crime for which I am begging your forgiveness is the dastardly act of consuming not only Santa's mince pie, but also his brandy. It was a cold night and he had a lot of work to do, and going without his mince pie and brandy could well have been disastrous for some poor child further down the route to whom Santa did not deliver because he ran out of energy. I've probably been punished already because I've never seen any more presents left at my house after that fateful evening. But I still ask for you to forgive me on Santa's behalf. Kevin. So what do you make of that, collective?
I think it was hilarious. So I think really well written and hilarious, and I would forgive him. The reason I'd forgive him, if he was my son, I'd be devastated to come back from the pub and find that, by the way. But the reason that I think he's forgiven is, one, he wasn't my son. Two, he was at the pub till 11:30 with his father on Christmas Eve when he probably should have been tucked up in bed waiting for Santa to come.
He probably thinks he doesn't want to be.
And then, you know, come 11:30, he went home on his own. And so his parents might not even have been there when Santa called. So I do think he should be forgiven. And I don't think you should worry too much about Santa not being given any food or drink to move on to the next person, as there are lots of houses close by that would have given him fuel to carry on with. Well done. I could make a wild guess as to who I think that is, but I won't.
So that's definitely forgiven.
Yeah.
So, Cameron, what do you think of this confession?
I forgive him. Again. Because... I would have taken the mince pies, maybe two.
Not all 36, though.
Well, no.
Technically, he didn't eat all 36, though, did he?
No, he ate 13. No, he didn't. He ate 18, because he ate halves of each one.
But, good maths. I would have drunk some of the brandy, not all of the brandy, some. So I do forgive him. But I think his parents should have been at the house while he was, while there was brandy and mince pies in the cupboard. Yeah. So forgiven.
So that's two forgiven. I think I'm going to make it three. It was just so funny.
Yeah, and I think they should consider moving.
Yeah.
That, especially if it's such a boring village.
Yeah, they should. I think, yeah, it's the parents' fault for not being there and living in a boring village and making him walk home.
On his own?
Yeah, at 11:30.
He could have been attacked by somebody.
Okay.
The madman of the village.
So, this is the end of my podcasting, well, this sort of career. Well, I might be back, but this sort of series, we're going to say. And I'd like to say thank you to the collective, Margaret and Cameron.
You're welcome, and well done on your podcasting.
Thank you.
And for the last time, see ya.